الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al-Muhammad to all our brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved Brother Habib. Brother Habib, salamun alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming to our show.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me here and allowing me to talk.
Oh, we always learn a lot from you. With Brother Habib, we've reached chapter 73 and verse 11 of this chapter. So let's listen to these few verses and we'll be back for the rest of the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا.
And leave me with the matter of the deniers, those of ease in life, and allow them respite a little. Indeed, with us for them are shackles and burning fire. And food that chokes and a painful punishment. On the day the earth and the mountains will convulse, and the mountains will become a heap of sand pouring down.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 11 onwards from chapter 73. Brother Habib, verse 11 reads, "Leave to me the deniers living in luxury, and be gentle with them for a while. Truly with us are fetters and hellfire." This is talking about the people who denied the Prophet's message.
Not only denied the Prophet's message, they also were hurting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, and the Prophet had to have patience with them. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind of soothing his Prophet, telling him that it's not going to be like this forever.
Mm-hmm. And that he will take care of them.
Yes, yes. وَذَرْنِي
وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ. 13 reads, food that chokes and a painful punishment. Is this talking
before about? Before that. Now, I just want to put out the light there. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. It's like, wait. Mahalum qalila is like, wait until their appointed time comes. Like, respite a little, right? And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe those who were disbelievers? Ashabun na'am wa tiraf. Which pretty much means those who...
live the wasteful
life. They are enjoying the pleasures of the world.
Uh-huh.
They are living the best lives. The luxury, those who have are living in luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And this really points out to why they're doing it. This is an ishara, or pointing out to the reason of them hurting and bashing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. This new, let's call it, this new ideology, worldwide view, is against them. It's not with them. They see it as something that's going to hurt them economically, something that's going to hurt them with their wealth, something that's going to hurt their status as the heads of Arabs. And that is why they fight it. And we will see a little bit when we keep on going forward. We'll see this comparison between them and Pharaoh, inshallah ta'ala.
So it was targeting the social order that they were benefiting
exactly.
from.
Exactly. The social order was unjust and corrupt, as it is in our time. And it will not return to its right place until the arrival of our Imam, ajalallah ta'ala farajhu sharif. And there are a lot of things in my heart that I cannot say and I will not say. Which pretty much makes us understand the reason why we live, the reason why we are patient, the reason why we still have hope.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a break now, and after the break, we'll go on to verse 13. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 13 of chapter 73. God is telling the Prophet to leave the people who disbelieve in him, who hurt him for the message that he's bringing, the message that breaks the social order that benefited a few. On verse 13, he says that he will punish them with food that chokes and a painful punishment. This is, I guess, pointing to the Day of Judgment and, for instance, the tree of Zaqum that they will be given.
Exactly. I'm just thinking, I kind of daydreamed away, just thinking about like our current times right now, where mm-hmm. you see like these governments, these rulers who rule in the name of, I don't know, what you want to call it, humanity, for human rights, for democracy, right? I'm not going to name the countries, but at the end of the day, when they're ruling for their own good. How can they benefit themselves? First thing to benefit is me. This is not the Islamic teachings. The Islamic teachings, a man came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam after he saw one of the parades of the caliphate of their times, and he saw how the companions of the caliph were living the best of lives. He came to the Imam. He said that we are your companions. When are we going to live like them? That. Where are we going to live like that? When is your time? The Imam said, wait. It's not how you think. When you live with the Imam, the Qa'im, you will live with hardships. You will live with sweat and blood. It's not luxury when you live as a companion of the Imam al-Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajuhu. You're going to live a servant for the community. The community is not a servant for you. You will be living as a servant for the community. That's it. That's the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He would give the meat and bread, the good bread, to people, to society. And he would remain with hard bread. I'm not saying crunchy bread. I'm saying hard bread. Mm-hmm. Have you tried hard bread before? Find the sangak bread, right? And let it dry out. And try eating it. Mm-hmm. If your teeth are good enough, you will at least break it. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam would eat that with either olive oil or vinegar or salt. Mm-hmm. That was the meal of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. One of the miracles of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi was that he would eat that, and in war, he would fight better than 100 soldiers. That's Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's the companions. That's the way of life. Community falls down when it sees that the government that's ruling is not serving it, but rather serving itself. A true leader is the one who helps, not the one who needs help to reach. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the life of the Prophet, I look at the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you just think like so many torments, so many triumphs have come, either in the name of Islam, either in the name of Christianity, either in the name of human rights, even in the name of LGBT rights or whatever. I don't care. At the end of the day, everyone is looking for their own good. And we have to ask ourselves this question. If we were in their place, If we were in the place of these Qarashi people, would we, for the sake of a religion that will revive the entire humanity, go fall down short on our masalih, our goods,
our interests,
our benefits, for the sake of this religion or not? It's easy saying it, but wallahi, it's harder doing it, as we will see, inshallah.
I mean, one demonstration can be how we live our daily lives and where we are willing to...
Exactly. Small examples come in our daily life every day. You're in our office. You're in charge. You're the leader. You're the boss. Are you willing to take a pay cut for the sake of your employees or not? That's just like one thing, just one example, right? Are you willing to, for example, take a shout as a, for example, from the CEO, take a, you know, like a big bashing from the CEO, a criticism or rebuke from the CEO for the sake of, you know, that you did something wrong and the employee didn't do nothing wrong? And, or are you willing to put the employee in front of you? See, this selfishness comes from the love of this world, the love of benefits and whatnot. So therefore, are we truly away from that or not? Or are we just claims and shouts and calls and whatever?
Thank you very much. It's time for us to take a break, but we'll be right back to study verse 14 of chapter 73. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 14 of chapter 73. It reads, "On a day when the earth and the mountains shake, and the mountains will be like heaps of shifting sand." This is describing the coming of the Day of Judgment.
Exactly. That bitterness that those who were in disbelief and denial of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they're living their luxury lives now. When? Oh Allah, is it going to finish? Just wait. If not in this world, not in this life, not in this lifespan, not in this lifetime, there's a day. In this day, the earth and mountains will shake. Arabs also use this. Literally and figuratively. The Quran means both. The Arabs, when they use it, they usually use it in the figurative speech, right? It means like a hard day, or a day that's going to make us, you know, like... It makes the mountains shiver, makes the skies and heavens shiver. Those stable things, creations, they are so stable, yet they shiver and shake from the terrors of that day. How about us? How about our hearts?
Actually, I was going to ask you, what is the significance of knowing that the mountains will be like heaps of shifting sand? This is the reason.
Yes, it is. It is. And of course, we talked about one of the, let's say, the alamat of the Day of Judgment, or what's going to happen. Not the signs, but rather the, you know, the occurrences that are going to happen after Nafkhat al-Sur or whatnot.
The events
that happen prior and after both of them. We talked about that in the different chapters. One can review from our archive. Right? I'm sorry to take your place. There we stated that the mountains will fall down.
Yeah.
The skies will break. How? I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not one of those mystics that sits down and just, you know, tells you this, it means this, and this is like a figurative form, one of that. I'm Arab. This is how I understand it. If it, figuratively speaking, I don't know how. Figuratively speaking, it's clear. But literally speaking, I don't know how it's going to happen. We'll see together, inshallah.
Inshallah. It will be a phenomenal scene. Verse 15 reads, "We have indeed sent you a messenger as a witness concerning you, just as we sent on to Pharaoh a messenger." Now, up to now, we were talking to the Prophet. The verses were addressing the Prophet. But I think the audience changes here. "We have indeed sent you a messenger as a witness concerning you." Who is this you referring to?
Ilaykum, to me and you and every person in humanity that's living after from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after. The Mufassirin, when they want to go precise, they say it's saying ilaykum, it's talking to the people of Quraysh. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Because this really goes, this is this topic I want to talk about, right? I'll talk about it right after I finish this, inshallah. And it's saying that it's talking to the people of Quraysh, but then we follow. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Then we follow. Because the Prophet was sent for the entire humanity.
Yeah.
Rahmatan lil alameen.
Yeah.
For jinn and ins and everything else, right? So at the end of the day, it's speaking to the Qurayshis, but we follow at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're available. And now, of course, There's the significance of Mecca and Medina. I'm going to leave it to the next episode, inshallah ta'ala, if you could ask me about it. But I want to talk about the significance of the comparison between Pharaoh and the people of Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, including the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, from Shia sources and Sunni forces alike, we have this comparison, this hard comparison. نحو القذة بالقذة. Sandal with sandal. Footstep by footstep. You will follow what happened to Bani Israel. The people of Moses, what happened to them will happen to you. We can go into details about this, but I want to stay up like in the Quranic verses. The best example is Pharaoh. Pharaoh received the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Moses. He saw the miracles of Moses. He knew Moses was a prophet. He knew it was the right message. But at the end of the day, he did not believe. Why? Because he was Pharaoh. People were his servants. People were calling him Ya Rabbuna al-A'la, the highest Lord. The people of Quraysh were doing the same. They weren't different from Pharaoh. They were ruling and they were saying, نحن ربكم الأعلى. We're the ones that make you come and go. We're the ones that make you have this and that. We're the ones that are ruling. We're the ones that are in charge. We're the ones that have our servants. The same thing. They knew, like how Pharaoh knew what was right and what was wrong. Yet, they took the benefits and the interests of their own selves instead of taking what is the better good. And there's this, you know, intellect, like, of forgetting the hereafter. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk more about that in coming
episodes. I'm afraid we don't have time, but we'll speak more about this in our next episode, inshallah. If you missed this episode, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.